After a very long wait, spring has finally arrived here in Wisconsin, and a great way to knock off that winter rust is to go outside and go for a run.
So for today's Teach Me What You Know, we've got Shalon Holbeck with us. Shalon is an avid runner and store manager at Movin' Shoes in Madison, and she's with us in studio to give us some helpful tips for how to prepare for this spring's running season. Shalon, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So let's say someone, you know, they've been sitting on the couch all winter long and they want to get moving. Running seems like a great way to go, but they've never really been a runner before. What should they do to prepare themselves before they just hit the pavement?
Absolutely. Good question. Well, the first thing is find a group of runners. There's lots of options in the area, especially in Madison. Find a group that kind of fits your needs, beginning runners or maybe people that took the winter off. And then from there, get the right equipment that will help keep you motivated.
And how do you go about hooking up with that group of runners?
Sure. An easy answer for me is check your local running store. All of the local stores, including not just running stores, but a lot of, I think, some yoga shops have some running groups. So check with them, check their websites. Even look in like the Isthmus for their weekly group get-togethers. And most of those are free. So
my worry would be biting off more than I could chew right at the outset, especially. How do we make sure we've got the mellowest, most unambitiousest group of runners possible?
Absolutely. Well, feel free to call ahead, ask what they expect and their mileage. Or some groups don't just have miles in mind when they plan a route. They actually go by time, which is a really good way for beginners to train. Think about run walking for 30 minutes versus trying to get in 3 miles.
There's a lot of apps these days. I have been using a Couch to 5K app and working my way up slowly, slowly, slowly. What do you think about some of those tools?
I think those are great, great tools. It's another way to keep you from trying to do too much too fast. That those apps that tell you walk and then run and they kind of keep you on a specific time, that's a great way to also not get injured. We see a lot of people who get really excited about the nice weather and the sun comes out, so they try and go out and run 3 to 5 miles, and a week later, they're in a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. So I'd say use an app. Those are great.
I know some people think of jogging and running as a solitary thing, a moment with themselves out there. If they don't want to get out and get social and have that group to keep them honest, how do they stay motivated?
Well, it's always nice to set goals. And in the running and jogging community, an easy goal is pick a race. There's a lot of local races that go to really good causes. So if you go to our website or, again, a community calendar, you can find a lot of races with different distances. Some of them include walks as well. So if you're not up to running a 5K, check if it's a walk and a run.
So there's that negative reinforcement. If I don't run, I'm taking money out of the hands of this charity.
Exactly. That's a very good way to think of it.
And you mentioned earlier getting the right gear. So we got to talk about that. How much do shoes matter?
Oh, shoes are huge. If your feet aren't comfortable, it travels up your whole body. That's when your knees hurt, your shins hurt, your back hurts. So getting the right fit is key. I'd suggest go to someone who can actually help you. The biggest mistake is just choosing off the wall for color. So go to a local running shop. Bring your old shoes with you, even if you hate your old shoes, because the wear pattern and what you say about the shoes can really help a running specialty person help you find the right shoe.
I don't know if it's a fad or a growing movement, but people have talked about the barefoot running or those shoes that are, apart from giving you some separation from the pavement, they feel like being barefoot. Is that worth considering?
Well, that's a very interesting conversation. I think that barefoot movement really caught on. And if you think of it as a pendulum, that pendulum to barefoot running swung way over to the side. It worked for some people, but not for probably the majority. So that pendulum is kind of swinging back right now. We've learned from the barefoot movement, but I think it's definitely not for everyone. And if you're a new runner, that's another place that talk to someone from specialty running that kind of can give you advice on how to, if that's important to you, how to incorporate some of that barefoot running into your training.
And some shoes, as a shopper myself, are really kind of, they don't have a lot of flexibility. Mm-hmm. Others you can kind of bend in half easily. Is there, I don't know, a difference between those as you're shopping for your shoe? Was one better than the other?
There's absolutely a difference. A more stiff shoe that isn't as flexible gives you more support. And that's for a specific type of gait or foot. A more flexible shoe will make your foot work a little differently. And so that's another place where you'll want to talk to the running specialty person about how you're going to use the shoes, how much you're planning to use them, like how many miles you're planning to put in. And if you're also doing things like aerobics class with them, the uses are really going to kind of gear which shoe might be best for you.
All right, so we've got the weather, we've got our motivation, we've got our shoes. Now, what kind of things do we think about when we're planning out that route?
Oh, well, especially for summers in Wisconsin, think about water along the way. Hmm. We're lucky here in Madison, there's a lot of paths with water fountains interspersed throughout. So think about that. Maybe think about if you're doing an out-and-back route or a loop route. You don't want to get stuck starting a loop and finding out that you're 5 miles out and you have to go around to finish the loop. So keep that in mind. And again, your apps can really help you map out things in the area.
And right now it's kind of nice to run outside. I did my first outdoor sort of workout and it was lovely, but it was still kind of cool. And that's not going to last that much longer in Wisconsin. So when we're going and we're looking for water, I mean, should you, I don't know, strap a bottle onto your arm? I've seen some people do that. Is it really serious if you get dehydrated and you're running?
Absolutely. There are some nice options for bottles, whether you want to wear something around your waist or actually hold a bottle in your hand. There's some nice handheld options. That's actually what I prefer to do. On Saturday, I went for a long run, and we had not had that kind of heat for a while. And I was glad that there were some water options along the way because I wasn't prepared.
It makes a difference.
It definitely makes a difference.
Now, how about the warm up and warm down?
Yeah, another good question. When warming up for running, I highly recommend doing something that's active. So don't just stand in place and pull your muscles. Try some squats or some lunges or something side to side. Since you'll be running, you're really moving in one plane of motion. And doing something with some side to side squats really helps warm up all your muscles. Save that static stretching for after the run.
And in terms of, I don't know, how to run faster and form, are there any just sort of general pointers that you can give people?
Sure. One thing is, especially when you're starting out or you're really trying to go fast, people tend to overstride or really step wide. Try to minimize how wide you're stepping. Also, keep your arms, if you think of yourself as having a line drawn right down in the center of your body, when you're pumping your arms back and forth, don't cross that line. So your body shouldn't be twisting back and forth. That'll help you with efficiency.
Shalon, you like running.
I do.
I'm guessing. It seems like a chore to me. Can you make the case for, once you get over maybe the initial hurdles, the joy, or not jumping literal hurdles, but the joy of running? Why is it fun?
We kind of touched on it earlier. One way that makes it really fun is the community, whether it's running with a group of people that become some of your best friends or going out and doing some really fun event. Like last weekend, there was a light run. I think they ran it at night and they had glowing sticks and whatnot. And you forget that you're running because you
saw those people out with their glowing sticks. It did look fun.
It's exactly. It's fun.
Does that sell you on it, Rob?
I'm not sure yet, but I don't know. Maybe I'll give it a go.
Well, so by the end of the summer, would you say if you start out now and let's say you literally were on the couch, is it possible for someone to become a runner in a summer?
Absolutely. A lot of couch to 5K programs are 10 to 12 weeks long, and they're taking you slowly. They're having you walk and they're having you alternate with jogging, and eventually you're running the whole 5K and you don't even realize it. So in one summer, you can definitely do it.
And then in the off season, so you've gotten yourself into that habit of running every day. What do you do when it's too cold, too icy to run around?
Well, we saw that this winter for sure. Of course, there's these options of going to the gym and using the treadmill. If it's not an icy day, you'll still see people out there running. But it's another good opportunity to try another activity, whether that's yoga or some aerobics class. Mix something else in. I think that's good for your running anyway.
Well, Shalon, you've given us lots of inspiration to get out there and get running. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
We've been speaking to Shalon Holbeck, an avid runner and store manager of Move & Shoes in Madison.